Meg.
Hi, is Sam there?
This he?
Hi, Sam. This is Olivia with the Bank of Cardiff. How are you doing today?
All right. Who's the Bank of Cardiff, Olivia?
Good, good. We're a business bank out in San Diego, and I know you're busy, so don't really want to take up too much of your time. I just want you to follow up on a pre-approved finance offer our bank had mailed out to your business. Looks like it was 2 weeks ago, and it was based on some financing you guys did with Regions back in 2015. And so based on that, we were able to pre-approve you for equipment financing and working capital for about $250,000. So I kind of just want to circle back with you and see what you guys have in the pipeline where you might need some financing.
Oh, we're doing pretty good, Olivia. We got an airplane lined up and for about that exact amount of money already paid for. So
that's awesome.
Doing good.
Is it adding a new plane to your business?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice. So it sounds like sales are going pretty good this year, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are you guys tracking for this year?
Total?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I want to divulge that.
No worries, no worries. I understand. I was just kind of curious. They're like, so are you guys seasonal?
Well, yes and no. We're seasonal agriculture, but because we're a full-service agency,
mm-hmm.
When I say that, we don't just spray with airplanes. We got ground rigs, fertilizer rigs, all kinds of stuff. So we basically have December and January. We're a little slow, and that's it.
Okay. So what do you guys do when things slow down?
Rebuild airplanes and equipment.
Oh, you rebuild it?
Oh, yeah. You got to work on it all the time.
Oh, okay. So when you guys are rebuilding it, like, it's pretty expensive, right?
Can be.
Can be. Do you guys ever not have the capital you need to kind of, like, you know, replace some of those, I don't know, engines, propellers, things like that?
No, not really, because, when you asked the question about how well we're doing fairly well. We have the capital available.
Okay, okay. So then do you guys... So you guys mainly just use your cash to kind of do that airplane maintenance when it comes up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing well enough that we don't have to worry about that.
Nice. So then, like, when it does slow down and you guys can't fly or you're not really flying as much, do you have to, like, cut back on pilots or take on, like, obviously you're taking on less projects, right?
Well, we don't. It's not cutting back on the pilots. We employ guys that also have other things to do during that time frame, whatever else. It's kind of an interesting enterprise, actually, because my brother owns a crane company in Pueblo, and he flies with us in the mornings and then goes places with the cranes in the afternoon, that sort of thing.
One
of the guys here I worked with is a local farmer as well as he flies, so... It works out for us pretty good. We got people that have stuff to do all year round.
Nice. So do you just have like your, like for you guys, is it just a private pilot license or is it a little bit more advanced than that?
No, we're a commercial license.
So just commercial.
Or FAA. We are mm-hmm. also... licensed by the state, we gotta have our business license, but we're also commercial applicators.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a commercial supervisor applicator, so there's all kinds of things that goes to that.
Okay, so it's not just like no one can just like go ahead and like open it up with a private pilot's license.
Not quite that simple, no.
just curious. So how do people find your services, like different farms and around there?
Well, mostly word of mouth because we're such a specialized service. The farmers all know who we are, for one. For two, we're vested in the local community. My wife and I were both born and raised here.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
So we're related to a big bunch of them to start with.
So you guys kind of know everyone.
And then on top of that, with the family relationships, I guess my wife's a hospice nurse.
Oh.
Executive director of hospice in Arc Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was out doing her thing, a lot of people were asking her, you know, what her husband did type thing, and then that always generated more people.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. So you guys haven't done any, like, any type of traditional marketing, like media, print, digital, anything like that?
Very little, because it's really not that cost-effective for our business. We do with some local farm magazines, but, like, putting us on internet or any of the newspapers and stuff like that, these guys generally don't read it.
Okay. So it's just kind of limited in your field.
Yeah, we're a pretty unique, you know, it's not like the general population is going to want commercial application services.
No, no, it's mainly just like business-to-business farmers, right?
Right.
Okay, so what is like the typical payment terms you extend to them? Is it like you pay as soon as you guys like spray, or is it like net 60, 90, things like that?
Oh, you've not been around a farm economy, have you?
Mm-mm.
It's a little tougher because everything shows up, you know, through the winter and stuff. We got some cash outlays and all that, but it's not not too bad. But ginning up in the spring is expensive,
mm-hmm.
extremely expensive. Same way with the farmers, because you're putting seed. When seed costs you almost $400 a bag for corn, and you're putting 2.5 bags, you know, or something like that, an acre in.
Oh, wow, yeah. Add up pretty quickly.
Well, so what happens is that we end up with even at 30 days, we get a pretty large capital outlay going, but they generally go between 30 and 60. We got some guys that probably hold out for 90.
Oh, wow, okay. So do you guys ever run into cash flow problems while you're waiting for your next payment and you're not able to, like, do your next project or get the materials for it?
Oh, yes, ma'am, but you wouldn't want to be dealing with us on that. And we're already there with about $1 million worth of credit.
Like a line of credit?
So, and it keeps, or it takes pretty close to that. I mean, we work with our suppliers, our wholesale suppliers, and our local banks here and all that. But we're at about $1 million level on credit.
Okay. And so that's like your line is about $1 million? Like your line of credit?
Well, for that, yeah. It's a little over that, actually.
Okay, nice. How long have you guys been in the industry for?
I've been 22 years now.
Oh, awesome. 22 years. And so have you guys ever used like even like 50% of that line of credit? Because I know sometimes that can raise some flags with your bank, and then at any time they can call on it and make you pay it.
Well, that's true, but these are a little bit, it's the same difference as far as, you know, I don't go in and do all the typical stuff that is required by financing folks and filling out paperwork and all that stuff. If we run into a problem, I just go down and say, hey, Nick, here's the problem and all that, and they put it in the bank.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever run into that and you can't do anything or they can't help you out, we actually have a super simple application process. It's a one-page app. And we just ask for, 6 months bank statements, your most recent business tax return. And then if it's like equipment, just a quote or invoice.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys are growing, though. So are you guys, do you have any current or upcoming opportunities to grow?
Well, yes and no. We're moving out a little bit. We cover a pretty large area at present time, and we're partnered up with a guy in Eads, Colorado, so we're basically covering a big section of southeast Colorado.
Do you have to have a different different locations, different what is it called?
Yeah, we have that already.
What's the place where you keep the planes called?
Do what?
What is it called, the place where you keep the planes?
Oh,
Hangar?
Hangar, that's it. Hangar, do multiple hangars.
Yeah, we've got hangars here, hangars and eaves, all that good stuff. But if we go anywhere else, though, they're usually tied down outside. We have to be careful with that. But
oh, really? Is that, like, pretty bad for, like the weathering on the planes kind of, like, affect them?
Well, you guys live in California. You don't get much hail.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, nuh-uh. Do you guys get a lot of that there?
Yeah.
And so if the planes are outside and it hails on them, can that damage, like, the structural integrity?
More than that, it can total them out.
Oh, it can total them completely?
Completely.
Oh, my gosh. Has that ever happened to you?
Not with any of our crop dusters. We're very careful of that, but we have lost a private aircraft.
Oh, wow. It's probably like once, if that happens once, it'll never happen again, right? You learn your lesson.
You try, but, you know, it's one of those things that can catch up with you. If you're not paying attention, you can get hammered with it. But, you know, it goes the gamut, I guess. You got to be careful. You can't.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like it.
Tied out overnight.
Oh, okay. So what happens if, like, you are, in a place and you have to leave it tied out? Do you, like, have to cover them? Or are you, like, looking to build, like, little shelters for them to protect them in all these different places as you guys go?
No, we carry good insurance.
Oh, okay. So you just kind of hope for the best.
Only thing. And if it really was threatening, we'd fly them somewhere else.
Oh, okay. And that's safe to do in the type of weather?
Well, you want, as long as you stay in front of it.
Oh, okay.
You don't
want to
get caught in the middle of it, no.
Yeah, because that seems like it'd be horrifying. are there a lot of you guys out there?
Nope.
Are you guys one of the only ones in the industry?
Oh, in Colorado, there's about 40 operators. There's only nationwide operators as business owner operators.
Oh, okay.
There's only about 1,400 total, something like that.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's a really small industry.
Yeah, about 5,000 pilots involved in the ag industry and all that stuff.
And so, what would you say gives you an advantage over your competitors since there's about 40 different operators around there?
Oh, it's interesting you asked that question. I guess it's called innovation.
Innovation?
Well, people have... like co-ops and what everybody has always had a specific product to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, let's just say 32-0 nitrogen, which is 32% nitrogen, and they do that and all that stuff, and that's what they do.
Uh-huh.
We sell those products, but we've also worked real hard at finding the newer type products that are available, like low salt fertilizers, which have less negative impact on them.
Oh.
But they also have a lower cost for value because you can use less fertilizer with it. That's a foliar feed type thing, and out here our soils tie up fertilizer, so we end up being able to provide them fertilizer for less cost, but they get a better response from their crops out of it.
Yeah, and it's better for their consumers, right? Because I would rather purchase something that had less of an ecological impact.
Well, that's true as far as the salt and stuff. And, you know, what people don't realize is that we spray a lot of organics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so huge, right? That's like, especially out in Colorado.
Well, it is huge, but that's kind of a long, drawn-out explanation, mm-hmm. too. People don't really know what they're getting. There's a lot of organics out there that are not certified organics. They are what they call natural.
Oh.
They're still spraying everything but the kitchen sink on them, I guess.
So it's kind of like tricking the consumers?
Yeah, it's all marketing. There's a big bunch of that going on. We're not real, we don't care for that.
No.
No. that stuff happens in any time, any place, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best thing to do is avoid it, because if it does get uncovered and people find out, they won't be too happy, right?
No, they're not going to be happy at all.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is that this is a cleaner supply as far as food supply than we've ever had,
mm-hmm.
because of guys like me and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with that, you know, people used to die from a lot of food-related diseases.
Oh, yeah.
Vectored by the disease and vectored by the, you know, the pathogens. It's like the remember the witch hunts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, all the Salem witch hunts and all that stuff?
Yeah.
If you go through the history of that, a big part of that was from the folks that were eating rye that had particular rust in it that's kind of a hallucinogen.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and they were seeing things and experiencing things that...
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
We don't have that problem when we spray the food and all that stuff. And then, there's a lot of propaganda scares out there. I've been in this business 22 years. I've been in farming all my life. All my family's been in farming, ranching and all that stuff. I probably got more exposure as an Air Force pilot than I did anywhere else, but...
Oh, really?
What it really amounts to is our CSU, Colorado State University folks, did a study.
Mm-hmm.
The general population suffers cancers at a greater rate than folks that are involved in the agriculture industry that work with these pesticides all the time. With one exception.
Uh-huh.
And that'd be skin cancer.
Oh.
Everything
Why is
else,
that?
Everybody's at a lower rate, far less than, and big cancer outbreaks are always in the urban type environment.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's just so many things in the environment here. So are the, is the organics, like sprays, are the ones that are actually legitimately organic, are those more expensive than like the normal, like fertilizers and pesticides?
Oh, yeah. Everything on the organic side is more expensive by far, yeah.
Do you guys ever have issues like buying those materials at all?
Once in a while, yeah, but most of the time they're readily available.
Okay. Just not being available, or like cash flow issues because of the cost?
No, it's a supply issue. Very specialty crops.
Oh, okay, it's a supply issue. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, is there a typical time of the year that you, like, evaluate your equipment or capital needs?
Oh, you probably hit us at about the right time, but like I say, we just picked up the airplane last year, and we're cruising along pretty good.
Airplane.
We're not purchasing any on that at this point in time. So.
Yeah, don't need any load trucks, anything like that?
No, we... I got more equipment than I can stand.
I hear you. So, you just bought that plane. How much was that plane for?
You know anything about turbines?
No. I know it's a single double, right?
Well, it's a single place airplane, but it's about a half a mil.
Oh, okay. How many people can, is it just a one man or two?
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah, what you're trying to, this one is short on fuel the minute you take off. All you're trying to do is haul a lot of product out there to put on a field.
Oh, okay. How is the gas pretty pricey for it?
No, not too bad. The turbines, I mean, you know, you're burning a lot, but they're not too bad as far as about $1.26, $1.35 a gallon, something like that.
How many gallons do you go through for just one, like, application?
Usually 45 or 50.
Okay. Okay, so it's not too bad, actually, in terms of fuel price.
No.
Oh, I always thought it was way more expensive.
No, the product we're putting on is the expensive part.
Oh, the product's what's expensive, the fuel isn't. Gotcha.
Yeah, sometimes when we're putting on products for the farmer, that's... they're anywhere, well, some of them are as much as $100 an acre, so that's why you're...
Oh, okay.
Cost so much.
All right. Well, it sounds like everything's going pretty good for you guys. You guys just bought that new plane. If there's anything comes up for maybe Section 179 or you guys want to bring on new equipment, I would love to stay in contact with you. Is your email just sam@juststream.ag.com?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I send you a quick email here just with our application in case you guys need some cash, in case maybe with your customers? You know, I know you guys said sometimes they're a little bit slow on payment, the 30, 60, 90 days, if they really stretch it out. And yeah, if you ever need anything or have any needs, I would love to stay in contact with you, and I'll probably follow up with you a few times a year here.
That'll work.
We'll All right. Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Sam. It's been great talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Olivia.
Have a good one.